This podcast is brought to you by Kefir Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Donna. Welcome to the Key for Her podcast.
In this series, we aim to educate and open up honest conversations with both medical professionals and real-life women.
We want to shine a light on those topics that sometimes go unspoken about and help empower women to know what is key for their health and well-being. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Key for Her podcast. Today we talk with Mary McHugh. Mary is a Key for Her customer and she also runs the Mary Menopause social media platform, where she discusses her journey through early menopause and how she now helps others with their journey too.
So Mary, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, girls, for having me.
You're our first Key customer that's been on the podcast and we're delighted to have you.
Oh, thanks very much. Well, I'm delighted to be here. It's my first podcast.
So we met originally through Instagram.
Yes.
And I was intrigued about your whole journey so far.
Mary Menopause started because I went into early menopause at the age of 40. Now, later after this, I had found out that it was actually 34 I started doing perimenopause or going through perimenopause.
Okay.
But I was having a good old rant with my friend and we're out walking around the bog area and I was given out that there's not enough information. It's not fair. Everyone's saying it's 51, 52 when you go through the menopause and it's not. And she said, would you not go on social media and document your journey? I said, absolutely not. I'm too private. Nobody's finding out a thing about me.
Yeah. Typical thing in the country as well. What's your woman down the road going to be saying? And you have to just stop thinking about other people and just let it flow.
And that's it. And she was like, no, Claire was saying, no, call yourself Mary Menopause. It has a ring to it. And I was like, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Went home. I was talking to my daughter, Claudia, and my partner. And I was saying about it. And I was like, oh, I'd like to do it, but who's going to watch me? Who's going to listen to me? And Claudia said, do a TikTok, mummy. I said, I haven't got a clue how to do that. I can watch
them.
Were
you on TikTok at that point?
Well, I was on, as in I had an account that I would watch for 5 minutes and 2 hours later, I'd come off TikTok.
Oh, same.
Yeah, that kind of way.
When was this? Was this over COVID?
Over COVID. Everyone. Yeah. But Claudia was like, I'll show you how to do it. Now, Claudia's 12, mind you. And I said, I want this, and it. And she goes, right, we have to pick some music. That was great. Went through it. So I picked out a few bits and pieces that I wanted on it. She put the music in with it and it went on. About 20 minutes later, she goes, mommy, you have a like. I was like, what? Someone actually liked it. She goes, yeah, and you have a view and you have two this. And I was like, oh, no, that's brilliant. She goes, how many views would you like? I said, imagine, Claudia, if we got 100 people to look at it. And she goes, what about likes? I said, well, if you got 10 likes, that'd be brilliant. So the next day she was on her school tour and she Snapchatted me and said, mammy, it's at 14 something. Now, Claudia has dyslexia, so she gets confused in it. And I was like, oh, well, she must mean 14 views. It was at 14,000 at that stage.
Whoa. Was this your first video?
Very first.
First TikTok. Oh, beginners. Look.
Literally it was. Nice. And I just kept on watching it. And within a few days, it was up over 65,000 views.
Wow. Tell me, what was the video?
It was pictures, like screenshots of menopause symptoms, of women talking about how it's unfair, some with Davina McCall in it, because I was watching her documentary. And I just put up a little screenshot.
Like a collage.
Yeah, that's it. And of all the symptoms you could have, or some of the symptoms.
Yeah, because there's so many of
them. Yeah, and I can't even remember now the music that was picked for it, but it was quite nippy with it and it was grand. Yeah. But it was just me having my rant. Like, I just wanted to give out, to go, it's not fair. Then people started talking to me. You know, I'd get messages and there was women and there was a couple of husbands came on and said, I'm going to have to show my wife this, send it on to her. Thanks for sharing. So I then decided to do Instagram as well. And then I started talking to one person who was in York, which is in England. I'm great at geography, by the way, I had to ask. And another person down in Cork. And both women had a very similar story. So what they were saying to me was they were gone mad, basically thinking they were gone mad and they wanted to take their own lives. So I stayed up with one woman till about 3 a.m. talking to her, and I'm still in contact with her, which is good. And then I said the next day, I have to do something.
Yeah.
You know, this could be my friend suffering in silence. This could have been me.
There's and I don't know a lot of people know this, but there's a correlation between suicide. The most common age for women to commit suicide is 51. And it's also the same average age for women going through actual year of menopause, which is insane.
Yeah.
Scary.
You know, a lot of them are at their wit's end. They don't really know what's happening to them. No,
and they think that's the only way out. I must be going mad, because you're forgetting things and you're thinking, I have Alzheimer's or dementia. I'm not going to inflict this on my kids.
And I don't want to spend the next 30 years feeling like that, or 40 years. Yeah.
They don't realize what's going on, and it's heartbreaking. So I got on my high horse and I emailed a local radio station, and I was like, this is going on. I've done a TikTok. I'm an absolutely nobody. If I can reach these amount of people, can you do something on your local radio station? So the girl rang me and talking, and I explained everything to her, and she goes, absolutely brilliant. I said, so would you be able to do something on your show maybe one of the days? Yeah, she goes, at 9:30, can you come in?
And you're like, not me. I thought you were just going to talk.
I was like, you want me? I said, would you not want someone like, you know, who's a bit more known? She goes, oh, no, you're an influencer now. You might as well get used to it. So I always say, if things happen real sudden for me, it's better than me knowing about them.
Yeah.
If I have too much time, I'll back out.
Yeah, you're better thrown in the deep end.
Went in the next day, and just, it was absolutely brilliant. The outcome of people talking to me, people meet me on the street.
You started all that.
I just shared my story of when it started. And what happened to me was, a few months ago, I was watching Davina's program, and I started watching different things about menopause. And it tweaked with me. Oh, I was 34 when that started.
Yeah.
And I could probably put back at least 6 or 12 months before that, where my period started to change. It went from a regular 28 days, I'd have 3 days, a little bit of pain. It went to two times a month.
Okay.
And I would be crippled. Like, I mean, I would be rolling around crying with the pain. I was on holidays with my sister, and it got so bad, I was leaning over one of the walls, and I was like, I can't move. I can't actually move.
And had you suffered from bad period cramping when you were younger?
No.
So this was all
new. What age were you actually? Here's a question, when you got your first period. Because sometimes we've noticed people talking about this, that there's a chance that if you started your period earlier, that you could go into perimenopause earlier.
Yeah, I was 14. I was 1 month before my 14th birthday.
So that's that's not early. No. Like, was your mom early, or was your granny or sister?
I know my mother said when she was about 38 that she got a hot flush. She was in the hospital for some reason, and a woman said, you're going through the menopause. And she was like, no, I'm not too young.
Yeah.
What I thought all the menopause was one, your period stopped, and two, you went red from your neck up.
Up, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Like, the sweats that I was getting, to me, where I've put on weight, I'm just sweating because I'm after putting on weight. I didn't realize that that was the hot flush. Some women, get the red feeling up over them, and you feel them going, or see themselves going red. But I didn't get that.
Okay.
So to me, I didn't tweak at all.
They're so different for everybody. I think that they're waiting for this typical hot flush.
Everybody feels
and their period might still be the same, but I'm still getting all the symptoms.
Yeah.
Am I in perimenopause? More
there's
than
a
likely.
Bit of denial though as well, isn't there? Like, you don't even consider that in your late 30s. Like,
I didn't know early 30s in perimenopause existed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought menopause was 51, 52, your period stopped. Whoopie-doo. No more period. So that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen like that. Like, every month it was getting worse and worse.
And what were your main symptoms that you were noticing? Looking, as I say, it's like the jigsaw. You have to look back to be able to see the full
story.
Well,
it was the irregular periods. It was like nearly hemorrhaging.
Okay.
I was going back and forth to the doctor. You know, my mother was after being diagnosed with womb cancer. This was my concern.
Oh,
I was going,
wow.
It's in the family. I have womb cancer. I have small kids. I have to look after them. What's going to happen to me? So menopause never came into it. We were only concerned about the fact that cancer was in the family.
Yeah.
Have a look at that. And being 35, 36, going to the doctor with irregular periods, you wouldn't really think it yourself anyways. But it was August 2018 that I went in for a D&C.
Okay.
So they were hoping basically this would sort it all out and the periods would ease off, but they didn't.
To anyone that's listening that doesn't know what a D&C is, maybe explain that too.
Oh yeah, it's basically the scraping out of the lining of your womb.
Yeah.
that's the only mm-hmm. way. So it just, it cleans the lining out and it's kind of like gives you a fresh start. Yes. Yeah, exactly. But mine kept on doing the same thing and I was like, oh my luck, isn't it? So I was after turning 40 that year and I went to New York. Big holiday. I've never New York. I was so excited.
For your 40th. That must have been amazing.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was the best experience ever. We went out then to one of the retail places on the bus.
Woodbury Common?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Been there?
Oh, yeah. And after we were all excited. It was five of us. As I said, it was five Irish door explorers running around
New York.
What
a great trip.
Yeah. Oh, we were just wild. It was just brilliant. But I remember feeling a bit of a cramp in my tummy going along the bus. And I said, no, it can't be the period. That finished 2 days before I left. So I was like, oh, no, maybe it's just a bit of dicky tummy because I have IBS. I was like, might be that. As I got up to get off the bus, this gush came over me and I went, oh no.
Poor thing.
I was like, I'm not after starting my period.
Again?
It literally was like
flowing.
A gush, a hemorrhage or whatever you'd call it. It's like someone just got a bucket and boom. Out with Kem and I went to my friend, I'm after having my period. I had to go into the bathroom and she came in with me and I said, yeah, I'm destroyed.
You're in the best place to buy a new outfit. Oh, yeah. And you're like, go get me something and make it nice.
Yeah. And I was like, I need
completely change.
I was like, I need new underwear. I need pads. I was wiping the blood off my legs, was gone down. I was like, how did it not go through my jeans? Please don't let it be all stained. Did anyone see me walking off the bus? Was it stained? So dream holiday.
It's a long enough trip on the bus out as well.
It's a couple of hours. Like, this was my dream holiday. And there I was sitting in the toilet, crying my eyes out and bleeding. Like it was just pouring out of me. Even sitting there, it was just constantly pouring out of me. I didn't know what
was happening.
How
had your periods been? Because you said you had a period 2 days before you went away.
Yeah.
And was it heavy or just normal?
It was heavy as well. They had changed onto heavy periods, but it was gone. And I was like to myself, well, I usually get a week and a half at least before they start messing up. I'll get my holiday out of the way.
Yeah.
But no, my friend had to go off and get me new underwear, pads. And then we went out to the area and I sat having a cup of tea and some painkillers. And I was like, F you anyways, period. You're after ruining my holiday. But I didn't realise it was perimenopause and menopause just never twigged with me at all. So roll on then till the following May and same thing was happening. I was still in a lot of pain. I was still getting 2-3 periods a month. And the doctor said, what we're going to do now is send you in for, and I cannot pronounce it, so I'll explain what it is. It's basically a tube is inserted up inside your womb with hot liquid in it. It burns the lining of your womb.
What?
Yeah. And you do a D&C and my tubes were tight.
Okay.
And this will stop it all, I was told. So I went, well, I need this done. So I went in anyways. And I remember the morning of the procedure, my aunt had actually got sick and she lived in Cork at the time. And I remember getting the phone call to say she was been taken into hospital. So all I was worried about was getting down to see her. Kind of forgot about myself, but got the operation done anyways. And roll on 6 months later and I had no period. And I went back to my doctor and I said, I don't have my period back. Now, don't get me wrong, girls. I did not miss that. It was gone. There was no cramps. There was no pain.
So technically that whatever they did, it did it work immediately for you? Or?
Well, yes and no. It stopped all the periods, but it threw me into a medical menopause. But we didn't realize it at the time.
Okay.
So the doctor said to me, no, they can sometimes go for a couple of months. You know, we'll keep an eye on it. So I went, oh, that's grand. I googled it, obviously, because you can't trust your doctor who's had like what 10 years training. I'd have to doctor google it.
Yeah.
And I went, oh yeah, that's grand. So I never bothered even thinking about it. I was delighted going, I don't have my period anymore.
Yeah.
I got that procedure done. This is brilliant. I don't have it. You know, while going through all these symptoms, brain fog, headaches, aches and pains, insomnia, then wanting to sleep during the day.
And did you realise what was happening or had you been told?
No, I hadn't got a clue. I had not got a clue what was going on. To me, I had no period because of this procedure, but I was only in my 40s.
No one told you were going to be in medical menopause.
Once I found out that it wasn't cancer, I had no more questions.
Yeah. Okay, right. Because that was your top concern.
That was my thing. Yeah. It was a cancer. No, okay, I'm happy out. So it was 2 years after I got the procedure done, I went back for my smear. In there with the nurse and she'd taken the usual details. Mm-hmm. When was your last period? I said, last month, 2 years ago. Delighted that I even knew it. And she's like, oh, right, you on the pill? I'm like, no, Kyle, no. She goes, you should be having a period. It's like, no, I got that thing done. You know, where the procedure, it's on my chart there. And she goes, should have got your period back by now. got my smear done. They booked me in to see the doctor. And the doctor said, well, medically, you're 1 year without a period, so you're in the menopause, which is we're going to do all the blood tests going for us to rule out anything else. Mm. And then she rang me a couple of days later and said, yeah, everything else is clear. You're in the menopause, Mary.
Oh, your estrogen levels must have been on the floor, were yes. they? And how are you feeling at the time? Because with your estrogen levels like that low and all your hormones, like literally just like, were you feeling bad? Like was the brain fog bad and the headaches?
It was unbelievable. And it's really only...
Yeah, had you just gotten used to it though? Because you were just...
Literally,
just
when I'd gone to college and I was like going, I've left it too late. I'm just a bit stupid, you know. These kids are taking up everything. I can't keep it in. Why can't I retain it?
Because you took up college, right?
Yeah, so I had gone back to college to study software engineering. Wow. So computer programming and iCloud and all that. So I picked probably the hardest one I could possibly think of.
But while having brain fog.
I'm not even realizing I had brain fog.
Oh, no.
Like literally, I think it was February of this year when I discovered there was such a thing called brain fog.
Oh, no.
I thought that Alzheimer's and dementia was in my family, and that's exactly what was happening to me. I was losing it. At Christmas time, we were having an exam in class. We had been doing this for weeks. Out with the laptops, enter onto the exam, start it. I looked at it and went, oh no, I've entered into the wrong one. This is not it. Back out of it, looked again, double checked. Yeah, that was the right module I was gone into. Back into it and went, I never done this before.
Oh,
why
no.
is this? You might as well have put Chinese writing up for me. I hadn't got a clue. I was looking at it and looking at it and I said, right, if I start doing something, it'll come back.
Come back, yeah.
An hour and a half later, I had nothing done other than I basically had told myself, you're stupid. Oh. You shouldn't be at this course. Look, you can't do it. Just
could you imagine the amount of other women that are feeling like that now?
Yeah.
Telling them things like that.
Yeah.
Telling themselves things like that. Yeah. And
no wonder you feel like you're going mad.
Oh yeah, like your mood is already low. It's on the floor. And now I'm
going, mind is
going, I can't do this. Why can't I do this? I just wasn't able to take in the information.
Yeah.
So after an hour and a half, I packed up and I got out of the classroom. I went down to the car park, into my car, and I cried my eyes out.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was going, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Only one of the lecturers came down. She was getting some out of her car and she's part of a different course. And she spotted me and we started to talk. And she goes, look, you just had a moment or whatever. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I proceeded to do all the other exams as well. But I found it so, so hard because I can't retain information that I need.
Mm.
Now, if you want me to remember something about what happened when I was a child, I'll probably remember that. And that's why I thought it was dementia.
Because it's short term.
My short term's gone. I can't take anything in. Oh my God. So from January to May, I was doing my internship for a company in Nace. So it was all home. I was in the computer set up and the whole lot. And I was finding it really hard. Again, I was like going, well, one, I've lots of anxiety and I'm on my own. I prefer to be around people where I can talk and ask questions. But I was just not up to speed on stuff. So I started Googling other stuff and menopause. And then I discovered this thing called brain fog.
Yeah.
And as I was reading more and reading more, I went, oh
my God, the penny drops.
I don't think I have dementia. I think this is what I have. Now, it was a relief. It was a huge, huge relief.
Just the one for me. The knowledge alone.
Yeah.
Gives you that
tingly
relief.
Fingers was the penny that dropped for me. All the other stuff, I was just like, oh yeah, that could be just normal. Tingly fingers, I went, oh. I've been in this for years and I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of realization.
Yeah. And the tingly things, because I have a friend who has MS, I was going, oh my God, could this be MS?
Mm. Yeah. Everything goes through
your head. The
headaches.
I was sent off for a brain scan. I was like going, I have a brain tumor. You know, I was thinking
you had yourself
worst.
Diagnosed or anything but menopause.
Oh, menopause didn't come into it. I was really growing an extra arm rather than having menopause.
Yeah,
like, I didn't even think of menopause. But migraines are part of it.
Mm.
But I didn't realize that until the last few months. And that's when I went on TikTok, had the rant, went on Instagram talking to people. And then when people started saying to me, would you not go out and help people and, like, you know, do a talk or whatever? I was like, going, I'm not a doctor. I have no medical training behind me. But a week later, I was in with my own GP and I had sinus infection. And I was talking to her and she's so, so nice. And I was like, guess what I done? And I talked about TikTok and she's like, oh, fair play to you. I was like, yeah, I was thinking of having meetings and, you know, giving people information. Oh, that's good. Will you do it with me?
Oh, yeah.
And she looked at me and went, yeah, I will. Just give me a week's notice. Wow. I have to organise my kids. Wow. I was, this is brilliant.
Fair play to her.
And were you on HRT? Did you get HRT from her? Or how did that come up, you know?
So it went after the smear when I'd been with the nurse. I went in and I was told then, yeah, you're in the menopause now, Mary. You've 2 years without a period. You're in the menopause. We're going to start you on HRT.
Yeah.
So I started on a tablet. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call from my doctor saying, do you know that patches are now in Ireland? Let's try them. Patches kept on falling off me. And we're leaving burn marks on me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, strange. I'm sweating so much they're falling off me.
Oh, sweating. Because some people were, I heard, were getting out of the shower and lathering themselves in moisturizer and then wondering why the patch wouldn't stay on, or else they'd use body oil and it still wouldn't stay on and they were getting frustrated and not using
it. But because
it. You were just sweating.
Well, now, this is what I thought that I was sweating. I put everything down to anything but menopause.
Yeah.
But in January just gone, I booked an appointment with Dr. Deirdre Ford in at Lawn Clinic, and she's a menopause specialist. Mm-hmm. And when I went to her, she was all about the patches. I said, oh, do you know what? They fall off me and they leave me with a burn mark. I was like, go on. She's going to laugh at me. She goes, you're allergic to them patches.
Yeah, so what's this going to say?
And I was like, I can be allergic to them.
Like plasters. What is it? Is it like a...
Yeah, because it's the sticky stuff in it.
Sticky stuff. Yeah.
And she was explaining to me, even if they get wrinkled up, you're not getting the proper dose.
Okay.
So even if they're wrinkled up on your skin, they're just so hard to get. So she changed me around and she was asking me, how's your memory? And I said, not great. Yeah. You know, so she said, we can put you on testosterone gel. Mm. You put it on the inner thigh.
Very good.
And that will help with. And then I said to her, which I had never said to my own GP, I said, I had two sections. I said, so my friend, when she coughs or sneezes, sometimes leaks. Mm. I said, can that happen to me, even though I didn't have a natural birth? She goes, oh, yeah, it can. I was like, yeah, it's been happening to me for a long time.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to say it. Yeah. I was embarrassed at
asking for a friend.
Yeah. And I was like, literally.
Taking notes at the same time. I've heard.
Yeah. And my friend has this and this and this. Yeah.
His friend has a lot of things.
Yeah. But like, I never said it to the doctor because in my head, it was only when you gave birth naturally that would happen when you'd cough or sneeze afterwards. Your bladder would kind of leak.
Mm.
But I never realized it going through.
I had two C-sections and I still had leakage, and especially towards the end of the pregnancy, just because of the pressure of just being pregnant as well.
And I know lots of women had that and I didn't. So I was like going, I'm never going to have that.
Yeah.
You know, delighted with myself. Wasn't I kicked up the bum for that one?
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah. Good, but she gave me then Vagifem then. Is it?
Yes, Vagifem. Yeah.
So I was putting that in for 2 weeks solid and then every week, twice.
Yes. So to anyone that doesn't understand what, I suppose we'll just do a really quick rundown on the different types of HRT. So you can have an estrogen, a progesterone, the local vaginal estrogen, and also testosterone. So there's four different things really that you can be on. And with that Vagifem, what it is it's like a little...
Like a tampon applicator.
A very, really thin one, the size of a little HB pencil.
Yeah.
And it has the tablet sitting on the top of it. It's being held. And then you literally just shove it up. You insert it.
And then you press the little button at the bottom, kind of thing. And it just pops it out.
The tablet in. So that can be used to help with dryness and bladder issues. And because Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, who's our resident doctor on the Key for Her podcast, she had said that when we are being formed in the womb, the vagina and the bladder all start from the same place. So the tissue is essentially the same. So that's why your bladder is affected as well as dry vagina then in menopause. Yeah. So just to explain that for anyone that didn't know.
And it also is good if you're getting reoccurring itch.
Yes.
You know, a lot of women don't talk about it. They're like, oh, it's just a thrush, but it's not the thrush. You just get itchy there. And then this
dry.
Also helps.
Dry and itchy,
and it stops it from progressing, because she was saying to us that if it gets to a very bad point, often you can't fix it. The earlier you can start it, the better.
Exactly.
But
even with the HRT, I often wonder now, have I done harm to myself from 2 years of having nothing and all the years of being Perry as well. You know, so you
You're on it now. So like, it's, you know, some women aren't even starting it until they're in their early to mid 50s.
I know. And it's so hard.
With all this information out now, I really think that if we can all help ourselves and get the information so we're all ready.
Yeah.
And have all the different options there.
Yes, exactly.
From our like 30s onwards.
Earlier. I would love for it to be set up in schools.
Yes.
Go into the TY year. I think they're just at the right age where they're not too young. They're going to be giggling about it, but their parents might be going through it. And it's not just the mum that goes through it. The whole family goes through it.
And I think it should be taught to boys.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, everyone needs to know it because like every woman is going, they won't all have a baby. But they will all go through perimenopause and menopause.
You know,
and they
even
can
if
be it, much more supportive.
Yeah, even if it's only someone in the workplace beside them and they'll know what's going on. But there's so much that we need to change in the workforce and in Ireland in general, even trying to get the HRT in. You could go down to your chemist today and you have it. Go down the next time. No, we don't have that one in. You'll have to get a different prescription or
we'll
have to
give send you off whack completely.
Completely. Like if you imagine, like if I went back on patches in the morning, I'm allergic to them. They're not going to get into my system. Yeah. So I'm not going to be treated properly.
So what are you using now? A tablet or the gel?
I am using the gel.
Yeah.
I'm on 5 pumps.
Okay.
So I take 3 in the morning, 2 in the evening.
Okay.
I'm on the progesterone tablet at nighttime. I'm on the testosterone gel in the evening time and I'm on the, can't think of it now.
Vagifem.
There you go. Yeah. And I've suffered from depression for years, which I'm very open about. And I take my tablet at nighttime for that as well.
Yeah.
But my depression got worse when I didn't realize it was on the menopause. And I was like, how am I getting so bad with it? But it has settled itself off in the last, say, 6 months. I've noticed that my mood has lifted a bit. Now, I still get my down days, like everyone, but it's not as severe.
Yeah.
You don't go as low.
Yes. And a lot of women are telling me that they're being treated for depression when they're going, no, I think it's actually the menopause.
Loads of women say that.
Yeah.
And that one of the meetings.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like the doctors are not really educated on it and it's not their fault. Their syllabus goes through whatever they're learning and they do a small portion on the menopause.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a broken bone and that's the menopause, next one. A girl came to me in one of the meetings and said, my doctor said, you're in the menopause, but look, it only lasts like, 7 to 9 weeks. I said to her, does he think you're having kittens?
7 to 9 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, kittens.
You have kittens in that length of time, yes, but the menopause, no. Like you're 10 years before and the rest of the life after
and it. People are finding wildly different experiences at their doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they can have a very positive experience and it could be a female doctor, it could be a male doctor. You wouldn't know. But others feel like they're being gaslit by their doctor and they feel like they're just not listening to them and they're just getting offered antidepressants and sleeping tablets.
And this is why the doctors that are specialising in perimenopause and menopause are completely out the door.
Out the door.
Yeah, you cannot get an appointment.
It's 5 months to get an appointment with them.
Because if you go to your down the road GP, generally they don't have that extra training and it's not their fault. They just haven't had that. So all of these specialist doctors are just inundated with appointments. So just like the HRT, can't get enough of the product, you can't get enough of the information.
I know, and it's so hard. Like, and women are fighting to get a doctor's appointment and then they're going in there and the doctor is dismissing them.
Yes.
Now, not all doctors, but some are, and it's not really, I don't blame them. I go into the doctor with an ear infection, I have a sore toe, I have sinus infection, I have an ear infection, my child has this, that, or they have to know a little bit of everything.
They have to,
you know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the menopause.
And they're kind of spread a little bit too,
too
thin
exactly.
in some ways. Yeah.
You know, and even the doctor that comes with me now, and I have 2 nurses as well, and the nurses have trained in perimenopause.
Okay.
So I have medical teams basically with me at the meetings. So I can tell what I'm going through, what other women are going through, but the medical questions are answered professionally.
Yeah.
Go to a doctor.
Yes.
Get your information through a doctor, through a professional.
Everybody's
and someone
so
that
different.
You can trust. And a lot of people think, I just went to my GP. How long have you been with your GP? I've been with them all my life. Like, sure, what can you do?
Yeah.
You could change you GP.
Yes, exactly. That's what I've been
it's
saying.
It's like a revelation for some people. Like,
yeah, it's a real Irish thing. I couldn't be asking them for the file, like, you know, then it'd be mortified by leaving and hurting anyone's feelings when actually they need better care.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I just say it to the women at the meetings, if you're not happy with your doctor, change.
Change. Yeah.
And if you're not happy with that doctor, you change again. Mm-hmm. You change until you're happy.
Yeah, you're your own best advocate.
Exactly. You know, it's like you're in your house. If you don't like the way your house is cleaned change up it. Or whatever, change it to what you want. Mm. So the same thing with your doctor. Now, your doctor's not going to be on your side for everything because you can't go in and say, I want this, that and the other. You know, but once you have a doctor that's listening to you and what you want to be helped with, that's what you need. Yeah. Whether it's your mental health as well. You know, because that's a big thing with the menopause. There are so many suicide attempts, women going down. Or your doctor goes in and might tell you, you just need to lose a bit of weight. That'll cheer you up.
Yeah.
There's a couple of women telling me that. I'm like going, oh my God, I'd love to slap you for that.
Whereas like maybe 10 years ago, you'd be like, yeah, I'm just going to go back on my diet now. And you'll have half a stone off or a stone off in like a month or 6 weeks and it'd be like poof, easy, because you're just there, I'm going to do a bit of working out and eat healthy. But now all of a sudden it's just like, sorry, I've just worked out solidly for 3 months and the scale hasn't changed and what's happening?
And I looked at that Mars bar and I've put on 5 pounds. And that's it. Like, I cannot lose weight. I've put on so much weight over the years and I just kept on going, it's my mood that's a bit low. You know, but I go out walking, try to drive to gym, the whole lot. I used to be super fit when I was younger. I couldn't understand why I was putting on so much weight.
And everything's more achy, painy as well. Yeah. And that makes you sit down more. And then the mood and then the tiredness from not being able to sleep, from flushes and the night sweats.
And then your comfort eating on top of that.
Yeah. So it's a vicious cycle.
Oh, it really is.
And then communication breaks down with some partners. And then there's problems in marriages and, you know, relationships. And then that brings stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. On another level.
Yeah.
I remember listening to the Joe Duffy show that time when it was that like week long or more so than where they were talking about menopause. I was crying listening to it because the woman said that her entire relationship broke down. And looking back, she could see it was all because of menopause.
Yeah.
And like, and it stayed broken then, like she couldn't go back and fix it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's sad, like, you know.
And so that's why the men need to understand as well what we're going through. It can't just be, oh, she's moody. Yeah. And like years ago, it was...
It's not fair. It's dismissive.
What's happening to her? She's gone a bit odd. She's going through the change. Yeah. You know, it was whispered. Yeah, you couldn't say it. Oh, she's going through the change. Yeah. And how many people would you have heard, like from our grandmother's time, they went a bit mad going through the change?
She lost her mind.
Yeah. Of course she did. All her hormones were gone. Were depleted out of her body completely. And nobody understood why. Mm. If I have a thyroid issue, I get thyroid medication. Mm. If I have diabetes, I get medication for that. But when people see HRT, they're like going, oh no, I'm going the natural route. And if you want to do that, that's great. But don't just level yourself off to saying no to HRT.
Yeah.
For just the reason of, oh, well, years ago, they said this or that about it. You know, and you can do both. You can have your complementary treatment with your HRT, but get the best of all worlds.
Bit of a pick a mix, as Dr. Cuiva said in one of our episodes. Yeah. She likes to sit down with her clients and talk about all of the different options, whether they be natural, medical, you know, and there is so much out there now.
Oh, yeah.
There has been a lot more research because like 10, 15 years ago, women weren't even included in clinical trials. So like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So no wonder the doctors aren't educated enough, because there hasn't been enough research only until lately.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a huge problem. And the likes of what we're doing and Dr. Cuiva and the other peri and menopause specialists are, you know, really focusing on the area. It's getting more.
Oh, yeah. It's getting more attention. Yeah. I see you going on the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
I will
educate.
Have an old chat with Brian. Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by our very own brand, Key for Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information, and insights on keyforher.com.
Please have 20% off on us by using the promo code KEYPODCAST in all capitals.
the very first meeting that I held was in a rural pub. It was 120 women came to it. And like for a rural
That's so area, many.
That is tons, so it is. But my friend was sitting with my daughter, Clauda, and her friend had come in. I was 2 12-year-olds and they were starting to have a little chit chat. And my friend leaned over and said, shh, girls, now sit quiet. So she said, they were quiet for a couple of seconds. And she noticed them chatting again. And she said, shh, girls, now. So they'd done it the third time. She's like, Clauda, you have to stop talking. She goes, Claire, Kyra doesn't know what the menopause is. So I'm explaining it to her so I get her up to speed. Now, 12-year-old explain it to a 12-year-old.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's, I would love to hear that conversation.
Yeah. Can we record that for a TikTok?
Like, that is the ultimate goal, to have kids that age talking about it, having them understanding about it. And the two girls are so open about their periods and everything. Yeah. Clodagh started her first period in July. We're still waiting on the second one to come around to get a cycle, right? But even her friend was there before, and I'd always say to her, if you need anything, they're in the bathroom. If you're in pain, come to me.
Yes.
Don't hide it. It's very open. It's a normal, natural thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Yeah.
But that's the way she has it. But did she explain to her?
But that's you.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you're open and honest and she feels safe to do that.
But if you'd asked me 6 months ago, would I have been doing this or talking about what's going on? No.
No.
But whatever struck up inside me, a passion to keep going and keep talking.
We were the same.
I think women don't like to see other women going through a hard time. Yeah. And there's this something inside us that makes us feel like we have to help.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like for us as well. Because we knew we were going through all these things and we wanted to pass on the knowledge, like to help. And, you know, and we were buying supplements to help us with all the pain and the skin breakouts and all these different symptoms and the PMS that we were having every month. And we knew that, you know, buying all these different things, it didn't make sense to us. Were we getting enough of what we needed? And that's why we brought out the range. It just, it made sense to us. And then it's just grown legs. We didn't think we'd have a TikTok with 50,000 followers nearly, you know. And that people are really hungry for the information.
Yes. And because we're women, we're holding each other up, we're standing with each other. I think gone are the days now where we're going to be backstabbing. There probably will be that in some areas, but we're standing together. We're like going, if you can stand up, I can prop you up.
Yes.
And when I'm down, you prop me up.
Yeah.
And that's and that's what we need. Women stand together and sharing the information. Like, it's over 50% of the population are female in Ireland alone. 50% of the population are female. 100% of them are going to go through the menopause in some form, right? The other 50% have to live with us.
Yeah.
So now we have to educate them on what they need to do and what they need to
not do.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, like sometimes breathing, they have to stop doing that.
Or chewing too loud.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But stop this stigma of you're old, you're dried up prune, you know, and you can't get it in your 40s. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And you can get peri before that and educate us all what peri is. Because like I said, I hadn't got a clue such a thing existed. It was menopause. They stopped. Mm. That was it. Didn't realize that you needed the hormones replaced and your hair would be affected. Your skin would be affected. Your eyesight. Hello. I'm like doing my own Zoom when I have the phone beside me. If I don't have the glasses, can't see a thing.
Yeah.
And it affects so many. You have to nourish yourself. Yeah. Like, and you have to make lifestyle changes.
Yes, you do. Mm. And even like your mental health, you have to be so aware of it. Mm. And mindfulness, you have to understand what your body's going through. So if I can get them to understand simple things like that and more things I have on my agenda to speak with them about, you know, we need the HRT, we need the understanding, and we need more menopause clinics.
Yes.
Like the government's in power now at the moment, promised 4. That's great in theory. They've opened up 1 and they're in power just over 2 years.
Mm.
4 all over the country.
Yeah, it's like that's they need
one
to be
is
dotted.
No good.
Like, we there should be a menopause specialist in every doctor surgery.
Yes, definitely. You know. Rather than this, we'll have it, but we put it up in Dublin. Like, they have to understand that outside Dublin, people exist. I know, and we're not aliens, but we live in the country areas and we exist and we need hospitals and we need facilities to look after us and we need menopause specialists.
Yeah.
There's no point in driving for 2 hours in traffic to get an appointment that you might have to wait 2 years for if it's on the public health service. Yeah. Where you go private, it's still 5 months of a wait.
Mm.
You know, so they have to understand that we're the people that voted them in. And if they want our votes again, they really need to change their attitude and give us the stuff that we need. Like, yeah, it's not like we're asking for extra eyeliner to be brought into the country. This is medical stuff. We need this. It's not like we want it. It's not like, oh, it's like a new dress.
But it affects your heart health. It affects your bone density.
Yes.
You know, how soon did you notice a difference when you started taking HRT? But was it, which was each bit sporadically added into your routine? Or did you just start with all four
and
items
at the
same time?
Did you start taking supplements first, HRT first? What? Where did it begin?
I started with the HRT with tablets. Okay. So estrogen and progesterone tablets. And then I changed on to the patches. Now, so in around 6 months, I was talking to a girl and she's like, oh, I'm on HRT and my knee's not paining anymore. And I went, oh, my hip hasn't pained me in ages. Mm, yeah. And I was like getting a lot of hip pain. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. So that's when the light bulb went off and went, oh, the HRT is starting to work here, isn't it? Now, my downfall was for me was when I went on the gel that I thought I put the gel on at nighttime, but you put it on in the morning time. Now, at the moment, I'm doing morning and night because I'm on five pumps of it. But I was getting sweats throughout the day from not putting it on in the morning time. And it was only when I was back a couple of weeks ago with my specialist, she was saying, oh, right. And what way do you do? I was like, well, every night I have my alarm set, take my tablets, put on my gel. She goes, why do you take it at nighttime? I was like, I don't know. So am I supposed to? And she's like, no, it's in the morning time.
Oh, right. Okay. And I was, and why is that? So you can get the effects during the day?
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Because basically I was putting on four pumps at nighttime and I wasn't really getting any night sweats, which was brilliant. Still getting some, but not as much. But during the day, then I could just be standing there. Like, absolutely sweating.
Yeah.
So it would have been a couple of months. And even now with the testosterone gel, my brain fog is not as bad. I do forget sentences mid-sentence talking to you and it'll go blank. But I feel that I'm not as tired with it. It also helps with that. So
it's subtle changes over time. It's not like it's not immediate. Now, for some people, it is immediate and all of a sudden they're sleeping through
but
the night.
But there's so many different types of HRT. Yeah. It's not one shoe fits all. Mm-hmm. Like what I'm taking mightn't suit you. Mm. Okay. So you have to kind of chop and change. So if a woman's starting on it and they think, oh, after 3 weeks, I don't feel better. It's not that it's not working. It just might need to be twigged. It might need to be increased or decreased or change over stuff.
Or add something else in. Yeah. Like what Davina McCall said, the testosterone was the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle for her.
Yeah.
It felt like it was
and
the
same.
The final
yeah, thing. It was for me as well. Because I think after maybe 3 weeks, I started going, oh, I'm not as tired during the day. Mm. I remember saying to my friend, I didn't want to have a nap today. Mm. Like I didn't literally go sitting on the couch and go, I'm going to fall asleep now. Yeah. You know, so that was great.
Yeah.
And then I was on Instagram and I found your products and I was going through stuff and reading about it. And I was like, oh, this sounds really good. And I got in contact with you. So I'm nearly 3 months now on those guys.
Yeah.
And
so you're on Key Peri and Menopause and you're on Key Collagen.
And the collagen
as well. Yeah.
And I like.
See, quite the glow.
I'm telling you.
I look forward to taking the collagen in the morning. It's like a little treat for me.
Yes.
You look great.
I love the taste of it. I keep on saying to people, it tastes lovely. It's like sugary cold. And they're like, oh, what? And I was like, oh, it just reminds me of a childhood sweet.
Yeah. That like, pineapple-y kind of flavor
yeah,
of it.
It's
as well.
Absolutely
yeah.
gorgeous. So I take 2 tablets in the morning. I take my collagen. And then about 20, 30 minutes later, usually I would have something to eat. So I always take it on the empty stomach.
Yeah.
And when I was in the hairdressers a few weeks back, she was like, oh, look at all the baby hairs. Well, and I jumped around. I was like, oh, look at them. Look. Yeah. Oh, my God, they're all grown.
Yeah. With a lot of people saying
yes. Yeah. I was told that yesterday, actually, by someone. And someone's hairdresser, she had to cut about 3 inches off her hair because the top of her head looks so much thicker than the bottom. She had to give her quite a cut. Now her hair looks so much fuller everywhere because she's stuck to both of them. She's on Key Peri and Menopause and the collagen as well.
Like, I'm sticking to them. Like I'm going to the grave with them.
Yeah.
Like they are my savior. Like the HRT has sorted out hormones, but they're bringing back my
nutritionally.
Even my hands used to be so, so dry. I've noticed now the last couple of weeks, I was like, they're not as dry as used to be. And it's not because I'm packing on loads of extra hand cream, but even
you're nourishing yourself from the inside out.
And even my skin, like it doesn't feel as dry in general.
Yeah.
You know, on my skin, Asha, look. I feel like I'm after getting Botox injections.
You look great.
You look very
really
glowy.
Now, I won't turn them down. If you have a needle there, stick it in. That's fine. But it's absolutely fantastic. Like, you know, and that's my routine. Never going to stop with it.
So you have your key routine in the morning, then you have your breakfast,
yeah,
and then do you do your HRT then? Or,
well, I usually, when I get up out of the bed, I
first thing.
Sit down, put on the gel.
Gel first.
Go out and have my key stuff, and then have the bit of breakfast, then go about my thing, whether it's in college or work or whatever, yeah, I have mm-hmm. to do. And then nighttime, then again, it's another two pumps onto my arms. I take my progesterone and my antidepressant medication. And then
you're done.
Go for a good sleep then. Yeah.
Fair yeah, point. Yeah. And you found that your sleep has improved.
Yeah, yes. Hugely, yeah. Hugely. Yeah, so it has.
Good. And with the combination of the HRT, that can really help. And there's plenty of magnesium in ghee as well to help, you know, with sleep, and ashwagandha in it to help with stress as well, just to kind of, you know, and chamomile as well, and lemon balm, just to help kind of just calm the system down.
Because I had only started on them about a week, and I had met a girl out, and we were talking in Tesco's, and I said, look, I said, I'm only starting them. I haven't told anyone about them because I want to make sure they're doing something. I said, well, give them a go if you want. I was talking to her last week, and she goes, my husband said he's going to buy me a lifetime supply because I'm not trying to kill everyone in the house. She said he couldn't snore in the bed, and I used to be nearly going, I'm going to kill him.
That's great.
But she's on them.
Finding them so good.
She says, I'm never coming off them.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm the same. I said, I keep on saying to the girls at home, like, oh, I'm going to the grave with them.
It's like, the Trustpilot that we have. We got Trustpilot so people can leave reviews. And the reviews are so long because they just want to tell their whole story about how good they feel now and what happened before. And it's just amazing to hear everyone's story.
Yeah, because there's no point in me just saying, oh, yeah, they're great. I want to tell people how they make me feel, you know, and how great I feel about them. You know, and even I've started my daughter now on your menstrual
one,
because she's hormonal, she's a lot of cramping. Mm-hmm. So I'm even saying to her, it's going to take a month or two to get into your system, and you'll know to sit down and you'll be calmer.
Yeah.
So she's like, every morning she gets up and takes those.
I've noticed that we've a lot of moms are putting their daughters on it instead of reaching for the pill, you know, to so-called regulate their cycle or to help with cramping or acne. Like,
you don't want to be
really
pumping
good
that into
option
them.
Like, you wish you had that years ago. Donna used to be really bad with acne.
Would
and
have
cramping
saved them a lot of heartache and torture
and school days. Missed school days.
Seriously,
if it was out back then. I have a friend, Olivia, my best friend, and she used to be what you'd even say was like Hollis Street in her house, to pain. She was screaming in pain. And I was talking to her yesterday, and she said, if only they were out when we were younger. She said, I wouldn't be going through that. I wouldn't have had all those years of crying and missing out on work and missing out on school. You know,
we've had to go through all these years of pain and symptoms and the silence of menopause, perimenopause and menstrual cycles. But finally, you know, that's changing, and we're all part of that, and that's an
but
amazing
But needed
thing.
Women to do it. There's no point of men going along going, oh yeah, they'll take this, they'll get rid of the pain. They never had it. They're never going to go through the womb pain, you know, so there's no point in them saying, yeah, that's a good enough tablet. No, you need women to review them, women to make it. And that's why I think
more clinical trials on things.
Yes, exactly.
And don't hope for the change, like, be the change.
Yes, exactly. Fight for it, stand up for it. As I say to the girls when I'm talking at the events, if you don't want to use your voice, use mine.
Yes.
I will use my voice for everyone. If you have something going on in your life and you are too embarrassed to say it, I will say, this is my issue. This is happening to me. And I will get a solution.
Yeah.
But there's no point in hiding in the shadows. We have to stand up and talk about it and just get the help that we deserve.
Mary, you're an absolute inspiration.
I love this conversation. How can people find you if they want to follow you on social media and tell us about the talks, and how can they find out a bit more about them?
If Facebook, you just go for Mary Menopause. On Instagram, it's Mary _early menopause. And on TikTok, it's Mary Menopause again. So the meetings, what happened is I will go to a venue. I'll bring the doctor or one of the nurses with me. And we basically, I go through the story of what perimenopause is, how it affected me. And you hear a lot of women then going, oh, yeah, that's me.
If there's probably an awful lot of nodding in the audience.
Yes, there does be, And I tell about the bad flow of period blood and the things that happened to me and the cramping. And then the doctor comes up with her presentation of the medical side of it. And then what I usually do is before the event, I ask people to send in their questions in case anyone is embarrassed. And what I always say at the beginning of it is, these are my problems, these are my questions. So nobody ever feels like, oh, everyone's looking at me there. That's my. And then I'm amazed. Like, it's then it opens the floodgates.
They're all putting up
their hand going, this is wrong with me, that's wrong with me. And then the doctor is there to give the advice. So we open the floor, loads of questions. We end it. And when I say we end it, it usually means about an hour after that, people are finished talking to us because they're coming up. And, you know, the amount of women that are hugging me and saying, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, because we all think we're the only one going through it.
Exactly. It all started on TikTok.
TikTok. The power of social media.
Social media. It's just bringing people together. But thank you so much for coming to talk to us today.
Oh, because I loved it.
I've particularly enjoyed
this episode. This is brilliant. I think our audience are going to love it as well. They're really going to connect with you. And I think having an open, honest conversation about how you really felt and what you went through, they'll really appreciate that. Yeah. And we do too. Yeah. So thank you.
That's what I would listen to. Is someone being honest and open. And I'm just going to keep on going.
Yes.
There's no stopping Mary Menopause now.
Thank you. Well done, Mary. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Key for Her podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could hit subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends.
For tips, tricks, and hacks on all things perimenopause, menopause, periods, menstrual cycles, and skin health, follow us at Key for Her on TikTok and Instagram.
Check out our website, keyforher.com, for more information.